Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle coming at you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We got a good show for you starting right now. A stock up, stock down for the Penn State football program. This has been an interesting segment as they've sort of struggled to find their way a little bit. So we are going to look at the state of the program as a whole. Some of the key questions that are still outstanding haven't been answered to this point in the season. We'll look ahead to Penn State, Iowa. Big game, I think, for both programs happening at Beaver Stadium this weekend. Borderline, I mean, must win. Every game in college football is a must win. But for these programs, where they're both at, got to get a win this weekend. We'll look around national college football and the college football playoff picture. The Big Ten's spot there has changed a little bit from week to week, certainly coming off Ohio State's 48-20 upset loss to Purdue. So, Greg, let's start with a little stock report. It's an interesting game. Penn State beats Indiana 33-28.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think they did not exactly solve their problems. They didn't answer their questions. Let's start with stock up, though. Who do you like? What do you like coming out of that matchup against Indiana?
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, I guess what do I want to start positively or negatively?
You take your pick. Either way.
Stock up for, you know, the fact that Penn State actually did finish the game, even though it took a late touchdown drive, giving up an onside kick.
So let me just weigh in on the idea of finishing the game. I think the game finished because time ran out. To say Penn State finished is to say that they had control of that and took it to the finish line. I think the finish line just smacked them in the face.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough, too. I mean, look, in all seriousness, note, another stock up to Trace McSorley, 19 of 36. It was not his best passing game, but 107 yards rushing, two touchdowns. He has darn close, Dustin, to 60 carries the last 3 weeks. The guy said after the game he's not that beat up, so I don't know how that could be possible, but take him at his word. He looked pretty good after the game, no limp or anything like noticeable like that. So, you know, he continues to do what he has to do to will his team to victory, even when he's not getting a bunch of help from elsewhere. Excuse me.
I thought Miles Sanders, 72 yards and a touchdown in this game. He also took a big step forward statistically as a receiver. That's something I would be looking forward to seeing because he can do it. I think we know that he can do it, and if nobody else is catching passes, why not try to incorporate Miles Sanders a little bit more into that part of the game plan? Get him the ball in space because, like Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders is capable of taking any given play and creating a big play out of it. And the more opportunities you give him to do that, the more likely he is to do it. And I think, you know, in the ground game against Indiana, I felt like he was always on the verge of maybe breaking something bigger. And I know it's nitpicking, but 15 carries, he touched the ball six times in the passing game. You saw him touch the ball quite a bit. I feel like he's a chance between Tracy McSorley's running and between Miles Sanders running. That is your best chance of having what we would call a true identity offensively.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just one quick thing on the running game, Dustin, stock down to me. We didn't find out why Ricky Slade didn't play. Journey Brown came in, looked okay when he had a little bit of a cameo there, but Ricky Slade's your guy. He's your five-star running back. We don't know if it was disciplinary or injury-related or, you know, maybe they'll say it was game plan-related. I couldn't imagine that. But, yeah, something's certainly up there. We'll have to wait and see what James Franklin has to say. But, you know, to continue on something we were talking about earlier, stock up to Shaka Toney. I mean, he comes out of it. He had one sack before this game. He now has five for the season after having four against Indiana, which puts him in the top five in the Big Ten. And Penn State overall, Dustin, doesn't really feel this way, but they're actually, believe it or not, number one in the Big Ten with an average of 3.6 sacks per game. And only Ohio State with 26 has more than Penn State's 25. Now, you're going to get a lot of people that's sitting at home saying, well, they must just pile them up. And it does feel that way because the problem, though, I think, is that the sacks don't ever feel like they come in of really. Yeah, some of Shaka Toney's did. But for the most part, of those 25, it doesn't feel like many of them have come in a really, truly meaningful moment. And I think that's why it's a little bit surprising to see that stat category.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I don't feel like, despite what the numbers say, that the defensive ends have made as big an impact on games as I expected them to coming into the year. I thought that this rotation, and certainly it's taken a hit with guys like Ryan Buchholz and Torrence Brown being out, but you also saw, you know, Yetur Gross-Matos, Shane Simmons, who has only got a couple games under his belt now. Shaka Toney hadn't really made an impact at this point in the year. I just felt like we could expect a really vibrant pass rush that we haven't seen, as you said, in key situations. I would say another stock up defensively is Jonathan Sutherland, 7 tackles, a forced fumble. He came into the game, saw meaningful snaps in this one because Garrett Taylor was ejected for targeting. We'll also get a chance, presumably, to start next week.
Yep.
James Franklin said leading up to this game he wanted to see more of Sutherland anyway. They made the comparison.
He got his chance.
I really do feel like on this show before as we were evaluating Jonathan Sutherland's film, we made the comparison to Marcus Allen because of the way that he's inclined to play the game physically.
Yeah.
Marcus Allen wasn't a big making a play on the ball kind of guy, and I think you could probably say the same thing for Sutherland. I'll be curious to see what he does with a little more audition time this week.
Yeah, no question about it. He's a guy that I think is really interesting because he was called, I think, Mini Marcus or something like that. Marcus Allen was sort of the guy that took him under his wing and really showed Jonathan Sutherland the Penn State way. So yeah, it's a big opportunity for him. Garrett Taylor's been playing pretty well. That'll hurt Penn State's defense, but I think they may be benefited, and you can think whatever you want about the targeting call, whether you should have been ejected, all that, but I kind of wonder if it'll help a little bit considering you'll get a fresh, fully ready to go Garrett Taylor for the final 30 minutes.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking stock up, stock down, brought to you by GoPSURV.com and the Keystone Sports Network RV. It's a special RV. You get all the benefits of staying at the GoPSURV.com lot, along with some very special extras, a catered barbecue meal from 409 Tailgate Club, along with the famous 409 Tailgate Club gift box. Also included in the RV, 2 bottles of wine with a blue and white wine gift box, a case of Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light beer, and a Keystone Sports Network polo shirt and hat. To hear more about the KSNRV, you can reach out to Jim by email, info@ksnsports.net. That's info@ksnsports.net. Also use the Contact Us button on the Keystone Sports app. Stock up one more from me, more of a theoretical than anything. Penn State's other wide receivers, James Franklin hinted after Indiana that you could see some shakeup in the rotation there. You could see even more Cam Sullivan Brown. Maybe Jahan Dotson gets a little bit more of a look. He's still got – has he appeared in 2 games or just 1 at this point?
Who's that?
Jahan Dotson.
This was his second game and his first catch.
So he's got 2 games left in order, and he can still preserve his redshirt. You might see, you know, they're thinking a little bit, let's use another 1 or 2 of those games now and see if it's worth keeping him around and burning that redshirt. I suspect he's going to stay below that 4-game threshold. But, you know, Cam Sullivan Brown, Mack Hippenhammer, you got to try something new at the wide receiver positions. Daniel George, I think you got to try something new, and what do you have to lose by digging deeper into your rotation?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I am a little bit leery about what availability Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins are going to have against Iowa. I mean, Tompkins, unless I missed him, and I guess I could have, but I couldn't find him on the sideline during the second half, and Juwan Johnson didn't even have his helmet. Now, he was out there cheering on his teammates, but Dustin, that's probably not a great sign for either one of their availabilities against Iowa. Maybe I'll be wrong. We'll see, but you're going to need some of these guys to step up, and guess what? A lot of people have been calling for some of the younger guys to get a chance to step up. Now they're going to earn their opportunity or maybe have it handed to them, depending on the injury stuff, but they need to go out and do something with it and prove that they're capable of really taking the next step.
So how about stock down, special teams, just a lot of stuff to clean up. And you saw DeAndre Tompkins and KJ Hamler both muff kicks, and in all those cases, they ended up recovering them. Blocked extra point, the onside kick issue. It's still just a trend that just keeps hanging around. It's one of several trends that keep hanging around that got to be fixed.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest thing we've learned about this Penn State team is that there's a lot of trends that are, they have some good ones, but they feel like they have more bad ones than good ones, and that's one of them. And at the end of the day, if Penn State wants to finish this season with just two losses and they want to win out the rest of the way, they have to find a way to fix these things that have been so problematic. And there's a lot of them. I mean, we could probably do a whole, you know, 15 minutes on just the things that we see each week that are concerning, the drops, the missed tackles, the field goal problems. You know, Jake Pinneker has an extra point block even though he made two field goals. I mean, it feels like there's always something that is pulling away from this team as much as there's thing going for it.
That ball was coming out low from Jake Pinneker.
Well, it was coming out low earlier. It's amazing another one to get blocked before that.
Yeah, yeah. It was coming out low for most of that game. So I don't know whether that's by design or if just he's a little bit lost technically at this point. Another stock down for me is just run defense. Beat pretty consistently by Stevie Scott in that Indiana run game. And I think what ended up happening, again, they're on the field for 100 plays. I think because there's situations where Indiana's got second and manageable, third and manageable. They're in positions where they can be unpredictable. And in that regard, I think Ohio State, especially late in that game, Ohio State, Michigan State, Indiana have all had this advantage that maybe doesn't show up on paper, but in staying on schedule. And Indiana stayed on schedule. They stayed on the field. That's way too many plays for a defense that has questions about rotations and depth in a couple key areas. And it's no wonder that they're going to tire out late. They got to be able to get off the field. They have to find somebody who can get some penetration on these early downs where opponents are having so much success running the ball and creating second and fives. Yeah. Somebody's got to get into the backfield and make a tackle for loss in a situation that throws opponents off schedule. Otherwise, you're just not going to have a lot of hope for getting off the field.
No question. I mean, even though Chaka Toney had a tremendous game and arguably, well, easily his best game at Penn State, they're still missing Eraser, as James Franklin said earlier. No running out of time. A couple other things. Stock down to the fake punt. Everyone in the stadium, I think, had a feeling that maybe Penn State would try that there. It just felt like a good time for it. The problem was it wasn't designed all that well. It was certainly not blocked very well, and Indiana was sitting on it. I mean, their first team defense did not come off the field. So stock down to that. You know, a couple other things that come to mind. Again, you mentioned that Penn State was not able to keep Indiana off schedule. What had trouble staying on schedule? I mean, you look at its third down offense, Penn State ended up being something not
five out
good.
Of 15.
Yeah,
I
so I mean, it just, it's the little things that continue to add up for this team that you know, cause problems even in a victory.
Continuations of trends. I think we touched on this a little bit, but just drops by wide receivers. Those guys just have not been playing well enough. And where Penn State goes from here is going to depend on how they start to clean up some of these issues that have lingered for a long time. Yes, even in a 33-28 win, I think that's one of the least satisfying wins of the James Franklin era, because all the stuff that has caused problems was again a problem on the road. We'll see what they can do this week against Iowa. We're going to focus a little bit more on the program as a whole, dating back, just looking at the big picture. We're also going to look ahead to Iowa coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.